Happy Cyber Monday. We are now officially buried in the biggest shopping season of the year. If they haven't hit your home, they soon will. And I'm talking about packages. By that, I mean packaging. All those cardboard boxes with the Amazon smile on them will soon make the mailrooms of our continent impassable. Then there are those padded envelopes, paper on the outside, plastic on the inside.
That is so much packaging waste. I mean, some of that stuff you can recycle, but not all of it.
Right. I mean, the boxes are recyclable, but those mixed paper and plastic mailers have to go in the garbage. Recently, Amazon added another kind of packaging, these all-plastic padded envelopes. Amazon now says a quarter of the stuff it used to ship in a box is now coming to us in these envelopes. And because governments and even Amazon have such dull names for these things, I'm just going to call them plastic bubble sandwiches.
Plastic bubble sandwich.
They're the ones I've been confused about, and now most of the stuff I order comes in them. And I haven't known where they go. Do I put them in the trash?
Trash.
Or in the recycling bin?
Recycle.
Either they're recyclable or they're not, right?
So you'd think. I'll get to the answer in a minute. But first, I thought it would be interesting to find out what people are actually doing. And so I went out early in the morning on garbage day. And to make me look like not too much of a nut, I brought along this woman named Heather Trim. She runs Zero Waste Washington, which is all about reducing waste production, including plastic waste.
It might be a good spot where we knock on the door.
Yes, I agree. Heather and I drove around in the gloom until we found bins that just screamed, "Full house of children!" at us.
We're not selling anything.
Okay.
I'm a reporter from KUOW Public Radio.
Okay.
We want to look at the garbage bins. Can we look inside yours, please? We just want to see where the Amazon plastic film bags end up.
Yes, you may.
Okay.
So we stood at the overloaded bins of Gail Myers' family, pretty much at the time when people were headed out toward work and school.
I think that one of the things that's challenging is when you've got a family and you've got teenagers and they're putting the garbage out, they don't always know. And if it isn't labeled on the package, they're not going to know which bin to put it in.
I feel like she's talking about my family.
Yours and many others. Anyway, Gail Meyer remembered just getting a plastic bubble sandwich, so we started hunting through her bins to find it. And just as we were doing that, Laura Muser walked by, and I asked her what she does with her plastic bubble sandwiches.
We get maybe two a year.
What do you do?
But I think we generally trash them.
How do you feel when you trash them?
Bad.
Oh, she feels bad because it doesn't feel good to trash something that you feel like you should be able to recycle.
From KUOW in Seattle, this is Primed, how Amazon is changing life as we know it. I'm Carolyn Adolph.
And I'm Joshua McNichols.
Most of us want to believe in recycling. It's what makes us feel better about our disposable lifestyles. Stick it in the bin, and invisibly, it comes back to us as something new. It's got to be good for the environment, and curbside recycling accepts plastic, right? Not that simple. In this episode, we look at the packaging hangover we get after ordering all those things on Amazon and what we should be, could be, doing to fix it. But first, where did the little plastic sandwich come from to begin with? As you will recall, Amazon is a company that sells millions of different kinds of items, each of which it promises to get to your door in record time and in good condition, including things like boxes of wine glasses, huge televisions, and toys wished for by small children.
We wouldn't want to disappoint the little children.
It's not an accident that so many things arrive in good shape. It's a design challenge, and I recently found out that Amazon has a hidden lab that is dedicated to designing and testing packaging. It took me 3 months to get permission to go inside, but we got there.
What do you mean exactly by a hidden lab? Is it like under a rock or something?
No, I mean it's not anywhere near headquarters. It's in this odd-looking building in South Seattle with no Amazon name on it. Just finding the right door was an intelligence test, because there were three. And we only knew we got it right because this guy, Josh Samples, the lab manager, was waiting for us at it.
I think clandestine is a good word for it. We are the oddball group over here.
Well, what did you see in there?
This is cool.
This is one of three labs we'll walk through, just to give you the lay of the land. So we've got
this is where they test how the packaging holds up under what they prefer to call the rigors of fulfillment.
Okay, what does that mean?
Insult, hazard,
dropping stuff.
Yeah, physical torture that our that our packages go through. But I don't think we should use that word.
This is Kim Houchins. She's director of the customer packaging experience at Amazon.
That is a very Amazonian job title. I suspect the person who writes job titles at Amazon gets a gold star from Jeff Bezos if they can sneak the words customer experience in the job title.
I think that's true. Well, that day, in any case, she directed my experience. We saw boxes being dropped to see if the contents survived.
One, two, three, clear.
Yikes.
We saw packages being shaken in simulated trucks. Because if heavy stuff is on top, it can crush the cute little teddy bear below.
So we're using a random vibration table. And
here. Poor little teddy bear.
Boxes being squeezed to within an inch of their lives just to see how much it would take to break them. And my favorite part, a 65-inch TV being hurled across the room.
And this is really that large item on a truck coming to a screeching halt.
I do not like the idea of a TV that I ordered getting slammed like that in a truck or anywhere, really.
That's the point, right? Amazon got its good reputation with customers in part because when things went wrong, Amazon made it right. It got you a new TV, no matter how expensive that was for the company. But in its drive for efficiency and profitability, Amazon has honed delivery to a science so that it doesn't have to replace the TV because it wasn't broken to begin with.
Well, what about that plastic bubble sandwich you told me about? Like the new one?
Well, they're very proud of it. It's light and it doesn't take up space, so Amazon can get way more packages into a truck than it could when everything was in boxes. The plastic bubble sandwich is inexpensive, it's soft and protective. It's kind of pretty, too.
It's kind of pretty, huh? I'm sure that was high on their list, looking for something pretty.
The point is, Amazon views getting stuff to us as a technical challenge. One it can master in order to make its delivery services second to none. But dealing with the packages after they've done their jobs is becoming a challenge of another kind. And this challenge is for governments. Why is that? That's next. All this plastic coming to my house instead of cardboard boxes has gotten me thinking about what happens next. I wanted to see for myself what happens to the plastic bubble sandwich when it leaves my house, so I decided to follow it around. First stop, the landfill.
So here I thought you were taking poetic license with the name Cedar Hills, but I see there's cedar all over the place here, just not trees.
Landfill always sounded like such a euphemism to me, you know, like we're filling holes that somebody left unfilled irresponsibly. Like, why can't we just call it a dump?
Oh, twist my rubber arm, Joshua. I'll say it. I went to the dump. If I throw a plastic bubble sandwich into my garbage bin, it ends up in a landfill, a dump, 40 miles away. So I went there. Pat McLaughlin is the big boss here, and he took me to the bottom of this giant muddy pit.
We can walk over and you can see the actual garbage as it was released from the transfer trailer.
I'd like that. I think that's good.
So what did it look like?
Like a storm-tossed sea of colors. There were plastic bubble sandwiches lying around, the occasional stuffed toy, mattresses.
Well, frankly, most of this stuff is plastic. Like the vast majority of it.
Well, certainly most everything came here in a plastic bag. And inside that plastic bag were more plastic bags. There's a lot of plastic and a lot of what we call the single-use bags and film that don't belong here.
As a parent of children who live in the mess we make, like I find that description horrifying. You know, honestly, I think that's probably why I pushed those plastic mailers into the recycling bin.
Me similar. When I put mine into the recycling, it's because I want to think of my plastic coming back in some new form instead of buried in cedar chips and mud. So that was the next stop for me, the recycling plant.
Ooh, breathe it in.
This is a place where stuff moves really fast. Plastic bubble sandwiches kept winging along with everything else on this conveyor belt, and people were grabbing out stuff that's not recyclable with both hands as fast as they could.
I see plastic.
Now again, all of these staff members, their primary job is pulling the film plastic out before this material will ultimately be baled.
This is Quinn Apuzzo of Recology, which runs this recycling facility, and film plastic is their name for plastic bubble sandwiches, flat stuff.
And there's one of those mailers. You see chunks of blue and white.
Right.
There's a, he just tossed out a mailer.
Right, got it, right.
And get it.
Yeah.
I watched the picker next to me grab out several plastic bubble sandwiches and then dump them into the trash.
Again, there's only so much we can do with it. You see all the labor and all the systems? Yes. Yeah, here.
Why are they dumping plastic bubble sandwiches into the trash? Why can't they be recycled?
Well, you're about to see. Remember, the job of a recycling facility is to take trash and render it possible for it to be made into something else. A machine has to separate paper from plastic. But the plastic bubble sandwiches act just like paper when they get to the separator.
And this is where you can most clearly see the problem with the film plastic. What happens here is the film plastic wraps around the discs, and these machines are designed to separate, again, the two-dimensional from the three-dimensional material. The bottles and cans drop down to a separate conveyor belt, and the paper travels up and over.
The plastic bubble sandwiches are shaped like paper, so they refuse to go with the plastic bottles. They get into the paper stream where they are not supposed to go. And not only that, the plastic wraps around the machine.
And by the end of the day, this will look like a conveyor belt as opposed to a system that separates out the materials.
They have to stop the machine and send people into it to cut the plastic off. I watched as a little white plastic bubble sandwich vaulted up and over the separator like a salmon swimming upstream. It was headed for the paper recycling system.
Oh no. So then what?
I'm thinking it's no problem. I kind of thought it was funny at the time because I knew there was another table of people coming down along the route. So there was still a chance that this plastic was going to get grabbed. But at that table, I watched the plastic bubble sandwich escape again.
Bummer. Like it made it. It's even moving at a different frequency because it's so floaty.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the properties of film plastic, again, make it incompatible with this type of infrastructure.
And I stood there and watched one of them head off to be baled up and sent to the paper recycler.
And then?
Well, that's the thing. When plastic bubble sandwiches get into a paper bale, paper recyclers pay less money for it. And if it's bad enough, the bale is rejected and then the whole thing is sent to the dump.
So by recycling these things, I am breaking recycling. I feel kind of like Ebenezer Scrooge when the ghost of Christmas past shows him how much he screwed everything up.
Well, then fine. If you're going to go there, I'm going to be Jacob Marley saying, I did it too, but you, Ebenezer, you can change. Actually, we have to.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Authorities in the Seattle area put their foot down about this plastic. This is Pat McLaughlin announcing that beginning in January,
we no longer want you to put plastic single-use bags and plastic wrap in the recycling bin.
And putting them in the garbage won't be acceptable either.
And in fact, we've got plenty of places for you to take them, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning.
Okay, so finally, where do they go?
I'm glad you're seated for this, Joshua. They go to a store.
Wait, what store?
Like a grocery store or a pharmacy, something not too far from your home?
Okay, when I order something from Amazon, it's because I didn't have time to go to a store. So now I have to take plastic bubble sandwiches to the store they didn't come from? That defeats the whole purpose. Plus, it sounds really awkward.
Well, Amazon's trying to make it a bit less so. They put a web address on packages to help you find the store near you that will take your little bubble mailers.
What happens if I do bring it to a store anyway?
Well, all the plastic bubble sandwiches will get bagged up and brought to a specialty recycler that will make it into components for things like plastic decking. It'll never go near a city recycling facility.
Okay. So it sounds like authorities here in Seattle are responding to the problem these plastic mailers caused by trying to train us to bring the plastic bubble sandwiches into another system, like a system that's separate from the current recycling system. That sounds complicated. What's happening in other places?
Well, you know, in places like Chicago and states like Wisconsin and Connecticut, they're at the stage where recycling systems are breaking down over flat plastics like these Amazon mailers. And governments are trying to get through to households about the problem. Same thing is here.
I'm trying to imagine myself bringing a bag of plastic bubble sandwich mailers from Amazon to a local store. You know, hey, I brought you some garbage I collected by ordering from a company that's competing directly with you.
It seems so classy when you put it like that. Even if they do convince you to suck in your pride and bring the plastic bubble sandwiches in, these sorts of messages aren't usually very effective because only about 5% of the plastic that people receive actually gets dropped off at a store in these sorts of programs.
There has to be another solution. This just seems dumb.
Well, there just might be. That's coming up. Amazon worked hard to develop the all-plastic envelope, the one I call plastic bubble sandwich. Well, Joshua, when I was at Amazon's packaging lab, I saw their latest design achievement.
This new one, which is an all-paper mailer that has a fully recyclable cushion on the inside.
Oh, this sounds promising.
Yes, a fully recyclable paper mailer. I wanted to see the padding inside, so I ripped it a little bit.
It looks like dots of marshmallows on the
It looks
inside.
Like dots of marshmallows. I think that's a great way to describe that.
Paper marshmallow sandwich.
Paper
marshmallow sandwich.
It happens to be similar chemistry to that that's used to glue the layers of a corrugate box together. So we're in the test marketing stage of this. We've got about 100 million of those shipping.
Oh, so it's already in use.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't have to use the plastic anymore. Like, that's pretty cool. Problem solved.
You might think so, but it's not that simple. Amazon wants to keep the plastic mailer.
Why can't they switch entirely to the paper mailer?
Because Kim Houchin said paper's heavier.
We're trying to get the lightest weight, most protective package that we can provide the customer. And certainly then the smaller and lighter weight the package, the less fuel it takes for us to drive, you know, to your house.
So they're saying it takes less fuel to drive them around. Is Amazon saying that this is part of its effort to become carbon neutral?
No, Houchin's isn't saying that that's what this is. The savings don't help Amazon that much. It's about cost and efficiency. I did weigh the envelopes, by the way, and the paper one was like 3 times heavier.
Okay. And I guess a box would probably be heavier still. And they used to send way more boxes than they do now. But I have to say, it's a disappointment that Amazon is opting mostly for plastic. I just love a package that you could just throw in the compost or shred and use for chicken bedding.
I met a man who agrees with you about this, that it's a disappointment. He also has a hard time with Amazon's focusing on the packaging that's light, cheap, and most protective.
The downside is that they're thinking about their own costs and not the costs that they're passing on as externalities, we call them, to municipalities and ultimately the taxpayers.
This is Scott Cassell, and he's the founder of the Product Stewardship Institute, which is a Boston-based nonprofit that looks at products from their design to their disposal. One of the points that he made is that for decades, we've been accustomed to curbside solutions for our waste. Government has been great at doing that for us, just hauling our garbage and recycling away. We even buy plastic bags to make it easier for us.
You'll notice Glad bags are strong by the kind of abuse they'll take. So when you want to get your garbage to the curb, Glad makes sure it gets there every time.
Of course, over the last few decades, we've learned to add recycling to our weekly regimen and even compost, but government was always the one who took care of stuff. And when in doubt, you always knew you could just chuck it out.
Right. And ultimately, like, we all pay for that chucking it out by filling up landfills and leaving a planet full of garbage for our kids. So is Amazon going to use the paper mailers at all?
Yes, they are. They're using millions of them now, but Amazon wasn't completely clear about what percent of their envelopes would be paper or in what circumstances the paper one would be chosen over the plastic ones. So I asked Scott Cassell where he thought Amazon would be most likely to use the paper envelopes, the ones I call paper marshmallow sandwiches.
Probably in those states that will require them to collect and pay for their products that they're putting on the marketplace and the packaging. Producer responsibility is implemented by legislation that would require the manufacturers to take that responsibility.
So if I'm hearing him right, is he saying that Amazon will likely use the paper envelopes whenever governments make them pay for using plastic?
Yes. Wherever there's a cost to using plastic, Amazon will have a paper alternative that it can choose to use.
So it sounds like governments have a lot of power to address this. Are any governments trying to force Amazon to choose paper over plastic, you know, by taxing the use of plastic mailers or something?
No, not yet. Cassell says Maine is the state that's closest to legislation that would make Amazon and other producers directly responsible for their packaging. But however they want to solve the packaging problem would be up to them. They can choose to collect it from consumers and recycle it on their own, or they can change the packaging to something recyclable. It's been happening in Canada and Europe for years, by the way.
Okay, so right now governments in the U.S. aren't making these demands. But in Seattle, the burden seems to be shifting to the consumer. Like, we're the ones who are being asked to take all these plastic bubble sandwiches to a store. And that is not convenient.
It isn't, and Amazon is not a fan. Kim Houchins from Amazon's packaging lab had strong feelings about Seattle's decision.
Or the garbage systems.
It broke my heart. Because there's a value for that plastic material, right? We have an effective recycling stream if it's properly sorted. You know, we want our community officials to sponsor and to invest in proper sortation equipment. We don't want them to limit the materials that go into the mechanical recycling centers. We want them to expand it. We want them to put better sortation on the front end. We want to have them really invest in modern technology that allows them to properly harness all those materials, separate them out, and get them into a proper recycling stream.
So she's basically saying it's up to government to build better equipment.
Adamant.
But the answer isn't to stop. The answer is to double down. The answer is to invest. And so Amazon put a $100 million commitment into the Closed Loop Fund, which is a group across the United States that's actually investing in mechanical recycling centers and sponsoring research and trying to drive improvements in this area. And we hope Seattle will turn it back around and be taking their best shot at recycling all materials that can be found in the waste stream and properly getting them back into usable work streams.
That Closed Loop Fund is something other big producers have been pouring money into, companies like Unilever, Coca-Cola, and bottled water companies.
Is it possible? Is there equipment that you can buy for a city recycling center so it can handle the plastic bubble sandwiches? Because then I could continue to use curbside recycling instead of making a special trip to a store bin.
Well, the Closed Loop Fund says no, there isn't. There isn't any technology ready that a city could actually use tomorrow.
Okay, I've heard a bunch of solutions to the plastic bubble sandwich. Amazon's solution is for cities to suck it up, basically, and invest in new equipment that doesn't exist yet, so that customers can have the convenience of throwing their recycling into one bin. And Seattle's solution is to train us to do something that's really complicated. Neither of these sound effective to me. And then right in front of us, there's a solution. The paper marshmallow sandwich. You know, But Amazon does not want to completely replace the plastic bubble sandwich with its fully recyclable paper version. And now we're in the middle of all of this. I'm supposed to be returning stuff to a store that never came from a store, even though everyone kind of expects that I won't because so few people do that.
Good study. Yes, you've done well.
I hear in this idea that we should take stuff to the store echoes of the distant past. Like, this is a regression to the early days of recycling, when the choice to recycle was framed as a moral choice, made, you know, not by companies or cities, but by individuals. And to recycle, you had to drive your stuff out to a corner of the county where they had special bins for newspapers and phone books and glass bottles and aluminum cans. And that system didn't work. Recycling never grew until places like Seattle made it easy and convenient and later mandatory for everybody to recycle.
I'd totally forgotten this history. And could it be that in our zeal to get more and more stuff into the recycling bin that we stopped thinking about what we're actually buying?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why is it that our consumer world is so full of stuff we only need for a little while, like the plastic around a roll of paper towels, and then it has to sit in the ground for eons?
And because China also took our waste, we never had to look at the consequences of our own mess that we've made. And I was able to feel good because my recycling bin is 6 times bigger than my trash bin. But Carolyn, you've done it. You've actually stood in the plastic filth and had to reconcile your choices.
I have to say, I didn't like it. I did not like what I saw. Our consumer demand is having unintended consequences, and it's consequences that we are not going to like the more we are forced to look at it. And yet, we're the ones demanding all this stuff, and on same-day delivery. You know, Amazon exists to give customers the convenience that we are asking for. We're all responsible for waste.
But the thing is, you know, right now, the producer, like Amazon, doesn't have to bear their responsibility for any of that waste.
So it would be government's job to get Amazon and other producers to become more responsible, but instead, they're asking us to be more responsible. The question is, are enough people going to cooperate by bringing their stuff back to a store?
Oh, and while we're there at the store, maybe we'll pick up a few things, and then we won't need to shop at Amazon. Next week, in our season finale of Primed, we're taking you into the wild west of hacking, and Alexa is our damsel in distress.
Primed is a production of KUOW Public Radio in Seattle. It's hosted by me, Carolyn Adolph.
And me, Joshua McNichols. Our producer is Alec Cowan. Our editor is Carol Smith. Our executives are Jill Jackson and Brendan Sweeney.
Music this week by Alec Cowan and Raymond Scott. You can find links on our website. If you want to know the history of how ideas about who is responsible for our waste have gotten pushed around between the consumer, the producer, and government, we found the perfect podcast. NPR's podcast Throughline has a show called The Litter Myth. Super interesting.
Yeah, I'll listen to that. And here's a shout out to all the people who have left reviews in their favorite podcast apps for Primed. Every time you write a review, it helps us get a little bit more visibility. So we really appreciate it when you do that.
And if you have ideas about how Amazon is affecting your life, please tell us.
Thanks for listening.